has gone, our school year has gone by. Remember all the tears. Wondering how we were going to make it. Let's see here. Let's, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. If you can, really, such sarcastic people in this room. If you're new with us today, then it's because we've been in Ephesians 1 for quite a while. We don't know if we're ever going to leave. But to be honest with you, it'd be just fine to stay in Ephesians 1 until Jesus comes. All right? So, let's pray. Father, again, thank you. What a blessing it is. Gather with the saints, gather with the people. Encourage one another. Just be a blessing to each other. Thank you for the love that's in this room for each other. Thank you for the hungry hearts for Jesus that are in this room. Stir that up. Increase it, Lord. May we want more and more of you and you alone. May you be the one that we find complete fulfillment, satisfaction. Forgive us when we look to this world to satisfy when it can never satisfy. Only you. Only you. God, would you open our eyes today? Help us to see, not just with the eyes in our head, but the eyes in our heart. Help us to see what you want us to see, what you desire to show us, what you desire to tell us about, the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. And all that we have to look forward to, not just in this life, but in the next, as we've sung some songs about that. Remind us that while we are to occupy until you come, help us to have hearts that long for you to come, for to be here, for to return, for to take us away. And yet, while you tarry, that we would experience you in greater and deeper measure here. God, if there is someone here today that doesn't know you, may they be so amazed at what you've done, who you are through the preaching of your word today, and even the, and in the fellowship of the saints, that they just would be compelled to want to know Jesus. God, would you just do that work in us that is so needful, so necessary in our lives? We can get so cold. We can become so fickle. We can compromise at times so easily. God, would you remind us of eternity? Remind us that we were made for more. And so speak to us, speak to every heart. May the word of God be anointed. Come forth in such a way that we know, that we have heard from our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, that last song that we sung, Ted has, that's Ted's request for his, whenever his memorial service is. And Jesus could come before that ever happens. But he always reminds me. Often, or at least when we sing that song, but that's the song I want you to sing at my funeral. That's a good song to sing. Amen?
Amen.
I noticed something. Those of you, this is my book marker. And there's a burn mark on it that wasn't there 2 weeks ago. Now, I know, in fact, someone told me last week after the service, and I know this was true probably for a lot of you. You actually wish that it caught on fire. you just wish that there was, you know, even more. Actually, it's kind of cool. It looks like it's on wings like eagles. So it's Isaiah 40. It looks like there, it just looks like the sun or something like that. So it actually looks like it couldn't have been a more perfect spot to turn. I'm going to put it down here so it won't fall off into the flames again, because we will keep lighting candles up here just because you never know when they'll come in handy. Ephesians chapter 1, we're really kind of moving like a herd of turtles through this prayer. And so, again, we really are just covering a piece, not even a full sentence. Doesn't sound like a full sentence, right? Out of Ephesians 1, I think it's 18b. I'm going to go ahead and see if there it goes. Let's go ahead and say this together. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that's it. So we're not even going to get to a period yet. We're just going to take a piece of a sentence and look at it today. Paul, one of the things that Paul has made clear at the beginning of this section is that we require, we need spiritual vision to see it, to see what God wants us to see what the apostle wants us to see. And so that's what he prays for right at the beginning. He prays that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. In other words, God has to be the one to turn on the switch. God has to open our eyes to bring clarity. We've talked about the fact that it's, you can know something, but not really, really, really know. So he's writing, he's praying for a church, for the Ephesians, and they know. There's a sense in which they know these things. They were able to assent to them or say amen to them. And they, but Paul doesn't leave it at that. He doesn't want them to just have intellectual assent toward the truths of God and toward these blessings that Christ has purchased for us. And so he prays that they would know them more than just up here. And so that was true of the hope of his calling, which we looked at last week. And it's again true of the second petition. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So we want to talk about this inheritance a little bit. And one of the things that, notice how he describes it. He says, the riches of the what?
Glory.
Of the what?
Glory.
Say it like you mean it.
Glory.
The riches of the glory of his inheritance. So right there, that word, you can circle it in your Bible. That word glory tells us something about the inheritance. It tells us that it's eternal in nature, and it requires an eternal perspective in order to see it, to really know it. We've been praying for Phil Nelson, and he actually, I texted him. I've tried to keep in contact with him, and I text him. Sometimes I wouldn't hear from him. Eventually, sometimes I get a text back, but this time he just called. Turns out the reason why he couldn't always text is because his left arm isn't working at all. Okay. Now, for those of you, just a little bit, he's had already been going, begun this cancer treatment. He's had his platelets, white blood cell count really, really low, dangerously, deathly low, and so he's been in this process. Well, add to the fact that turns out that he had a stroke, which was the reason why his left arm isn't working. He has no mobility whatsoever with it. Hence the phone call rather than the texting. Add to that, he had pneumonia or something along those lines, some sort of bacterial infection. I mean, the guy is just falling apart. I mean, you don't know really what you... I mean, how do you communicate with somebody? I mean, when somebody... How you doing? You want the short answer or the long answer? you want to know how he's, you really want to know how he's doing, but at the same time, he's a mess. Well, he called and I was talking to him. And I asked, how are you really doing? And again, considering this is the backdrop, all of these health issues, I mean, knocking on death's door. Now, we've just gotten a praise recently that there's some improvement. Praise God. But with that said, this guy has all kinds of health issues. He's in the hospital for who knows how long. And he says this. He says, God is amazing. Everything is great. And I've never been closer to Jesus than I am now. No complaints. And that day, he was either had or was going also to get a bone marrow biopsy. So that would add that as well. So all of that, and he can't help but just praise God and testify the fact that Jesus is here and he's close. Isn't that amazing? That's an eternal perspective. Let's fill in the power of the Holy Spirit living out this prayer. That is Phil essentially saying that he knows the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And that's why he can say, God is amazing. Everything is great. Jesus is nearer to me than I've ever known him to be. So we think about this inheritance. We have to think about glory. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read the Bible for quite a while, and that word shows up quite a bit. And I still have a hard time describing it. I don't know about you, but for me, I have a hard time describing it. I have a hard time fully understanding it. Because sometimes it's an action, and sometimes it's a possession, and sometimes it seems it's just a state of being. And God, over and over again, describes himself with this word glory. It seems at times it's something that you can see. Behold the glory. And there's sometimes when it's something that happens. Be glorified, and it's an action. Good luck trying to fully understand it. And yet, Paul describes the inheritance with the word glory. And it seems that what he's saying in regards to this inheritance is that the inheritance springs from his glory. And it abides in his glory. And it reflects his glory. And it manifests his glory. And if you understand what glory is, then maybe that makes some sense. But it seems that maybe glory is a way of encapsulating all that God is. But I think even that falls short of what God intends the word to mean. Jesus talks about this glory, John 17, in his high priestly prayer. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Glorify me with glory. I glorified you. Glorify me with the glory. And then it goes on, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Given them what? The glory. That they may be one just as we are one. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Where is that? Where the glory is. That they may behold my glory which you gave me. Which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. Glory! 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 The riches of the glory of his inheritance. And so, it is an imparted glory, as we see in Jesus' prayer. Glorify them. Who's them?
Us.
The people of God. Glorify them with the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. Amen. Glory, give them the glory that you've given me, that they may share in my glory and behold my glory. See, I don't believe we can appreciate inheritance until we can, in some sense, appreciate glory. It's in Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, in you. The sufferings don't compare to what? To the glory that will be revealed, manifested, displayed, shown to all the world, all creation, the whole universe, the glory of God in his people.
Amen.
Amen. It is the glory of Christ. Again, his inheritance, his glory. The glory of Christ, that is what we've been promised to inherit. Romans 8, verse 17, so just prior to. If we're children, again, it being in Christ, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Glorified together with Christ. Do you understand any of that? Is that kind of way out there? Wow. Jesus wants to share and is going to share his glory. Not in small measure, but as much glory that Jesus receives, he gives. This is, as Paul is praying, this is part of the inheritance, at least an understanding of the inheritance. So to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance is, it's to confess something. There's a confession in this. It's to understand something. It's a statement about this life. It's a confession that this life is temporary. So this prayer, that we would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, is also a prayer that we would know and confess that this life is temporary. That this life is passing away. I think we got another scripture. Look at that. Well, yeah, there we go. John writes in 1 John 2:17, and the world is what? Passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That's one of the things that the scripture constantly does. Speaks, it contrasts, if you will, the temporal and the eternal. And it's constantly for the Christians encouraging us with the eternal. Keep thinking about the eternal. Keep dwelling on the eternal. Abide in that which will endure forever. And Paul's praying that we would know that this inheritance endures forever. But it reminds us that this world is passing away. Psalm 39. David wrote, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You have made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is vapor. Again, the psalmist understood. Life is fleeting. It's transient, temporal, passes away quickly. You know, we spend so much of our lives thinking about this life the things of this life, that we leave little time for us to think about the things that have to do with the next life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, there's a sense in which we're here. You know, we got things to do. That's not, I'm not saying we got responsibilities and all kinds of whatever. But think about how much we think about this life in comparison to the next life. I mean, the whole prayer has to do with next life. I mean, yes, this life. But there's something to look forward to. Over and over and over again in the scripture, there's this looking forward to something. You see, to know the glory of his inheritance requires us to hold this life loosely. We kind of have to have an open hand with this life. There is some, because this life is, Jesus doesn't, remember what Jesus said? He who seeks to save this life. Which life? The life that's passing away. We'll lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. Will save it. Find real life. Peter writes, 1 Peter chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Reserved in heaven. Where? Where is it reserved? Heaven. Where should our thoughts be? At least more than they are. Heaven. Why? Because that's where the inheritance is reserved. That's what Peter is encouraging. This is coming. He's writing to people later on in the same epistle. Later on, he's going to say, "Do not think it strange that you are tried with a fiery trial." Don't think it strange. What does he say? Hold on to what lasts forever. Because the trials are coming. And guess what those trials tend to do? They tend to take away the temporal. The things that we tend to hold on to so tightly, and the testing and the trials come, and they test, and they reveal that those things are passing away anyway. And so what is he saying right at the outset of this letter? He's saying, hold on, look forward to that which is reserved in heaven for you. Paul is praying that you would really know this. So this inheritance is not merely a catalog of divine blessings. There's a catalog of divine blessings, yeah, but that's not merely what it is. And to be received in their fullness. The inheritance is a mindset. It's a mindset. Has to do with how you and I think about life. Has to do with how Phil is going to view his life in a hospital. Right? Or our friends that are dealing with their son in that condition. It's a mindset. Has to do with a way of thinking. Has to do with a perspective that is not earthly, but is heavenly. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Over and over again, Jesus talked about the difference between the temporal and the eternal. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Again, that's the encouragement. I mean, we have a calling and we have a purpose that's to be lived out in the present, but always with eternity in view. Always with eternity in view. We're to be here and we're to be living presently for Jesus Christ. And we're to receive these blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, receive these blessings that are meant to encourage us and give us strength and build our faith up. But we're to always live with eternity in view. In other words, the inheritance is really meant to look forward to. It's really meant to look forward to. This isn't it, people. Amen? Yeah. This isn't it. We're looking forward to something. Honestly, only believers have anything to really look forward to. Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. James, he says, listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Listen to Paul. This is his last letter. He was martyred not too long after this letter. He says, this is chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who, what?
Love
his appearing. You know, he goes on to say this. He goes, and the Lord will deliver me. This is crazy. So he just said what he's looking forward to. Hey, I know that the Lord, the judge, is going to place on my head a crown of righteousness. And then he goes on to say, a few verses later, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. What's going to happen to Paul? What is he going to lose? His head. He is going to be beheaded for the faith. He is going to be beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how can he say this? Did you hear what I just read? He said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Well, what does that mean? Isn't losing your head an evil work? Isn't that guy with the axe or the sword or whatever he used, that's an evil work, right? What do you mean God's going to deliver him from every evil work? How can he say that? It's because even though the axe takes his head off, God can put his head back on. Why? Because God's going to put a crown on it. You follow? He already said, the Lord is going to put a crown on my head. Doesn't matter if they take the head off. God's going to put it back on. Amen? He can put my head back on. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of, a sword or an axe? God can undo what they do. In fact, my head will be better than it ever was. In fact, it's never going to come off of the body. Ever, ever again. They get one shot. They get one shot because they got one head. They can take it off. But God's going to just undo it. He's going to put the head back on. And so we can say God's going to deliver me from every evil work. Even when the evil work happens, God will undo the evil work. Amen? That's the faith that he had. Why? Because he believed. Because he knew of the riches, of the glory, of the inheritance in the saints. He knew the glory. And what are you looking forward to? I mean, think about it. the things we're looking forward to. But how many of those things are really things that have to do with God? There's a lot of things that we want to see happen, we want to do, we want to experience in this life, but listen, we focus so much on looking forward to doing stuff in this life, we forget to look forward to things in the next life. We hold this, we're supposed to hold this loosely. You see, that the inheritance has to do with seeing the unseen. It was 2017 is when Dave Hellyer left this life. God took it. But I wasn't there for the night when he passed away. But I heard about it. I want to share some things about it. And David was in a place where he wasn't able to even speak anymore. But he was definitely dying quickly. But he could communicate with his eyes. So he was communicating with his eyes. He was there. He wasn't able to communicate verbally, but he was able to communicate with his eyes. And his eyes were fixed on something. His eyes were looking at something. Looking at this.
Amen.
This is what David was looking at. You see, what was happening, what we would believe was happening, was Dave was communicating with his eyes and he was saying, I'm seeing him. Or I'm about to see him. You see, Dave was seeing the unseen. He was knowing the riches of the glory in the saints. I think Dave was ready to dance too. And you know, in the process of time, David lost a few toes because of diabetes. And guess what? God will deliver him from every evil work. Guess what? Dave got all his toes back. And I don't know if our heavenly bodies have more toes than five on per foot. I don't really know. But Dave got as many toes as heaven gives. Okay? And so he's got a body like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, we do not lose heart. And I want to add, let's go back to the main scripture. Actually, this is a scripture I think I have. Let's go do that. Yeah, I don't want to. We do not lose heart. Listen, those who know the riches of the glory of his inheritance do not lose heart. You can be a believer and lose heart. But those that know don't lose heart. And certainly, if we're believers, we don't have to lose heart. Why? Because even though our outward man is perishing, anybody experiencing that lately? Anybody experiencing anything perishing? I.e. your youth. Youth is long gone. Bye-bye. Hair gone. Right, David? Hair gone. It's gone. Bye. Don't worry. You'll get it back. Unless we're all bald and that's better. I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'm going to have hair. Maybe not you. No, you don't have... Did you ever have hair? I'm sorry. No, I don't know. Brother, I love you, brother. You know that. It was down to here. I saw him doing that. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what?
Glory.
Say it like you mean it.
Glory.
It's working for us. What glory? While we do not look at the things which are seen. There you go. But the things which are not seen. That's why Paul is praying for the eyes of our understanding, that we would see with spiritual eyes, that we would have spiritual vision, that we would be able to apprehend that which for we've been apprehended of in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, for these things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love what it says in Hebrews 11, speaking of those Old Testament saints. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, meaning in this life. There were things that God promised that they didn't receive. And it says of them, but having seen them afar off. Afar off. We're assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. Anybody desire a better?
Amen.
Amen? Then we're in good company. Now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Again, what is he talking about? He's saying, listen, we are like them. We are looking forward to something. Something that's going to last forever. Something that is better than anything that's in this life. Infinitely better in every way that you can comprehend. That's why Paul writes in Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind or set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, the thing that you love is the thing that you're going to set your mind on. The thing that you love is what you're going to set your affections on. You're going to focus on. Paul is saying, don't you love Jesus? Can you with your mind's eye see him seated on the throne? Fix your mind on that. Set your heart on that. If you love him, then that's where your mind's going to be. Yes, you're here and you're present and you're living and you're doing the things that are a part of this life and a part of your calling, God's calling in your life. But your mind is fixed. You're living in light of eternity. You're living in light of the one whom you love more than anything in the world. And he happens to be in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So you can't help but think about heaven, because that's where Jesus is. Amen? Do you know the truth is, I believe, the less we think of heaven, the more troubled we are on earth. I'm not saying trouble is equal across the board. But more, the less we think of heaven, the more troubled we are. We all experience trouble. But the more we struggle here, when we're not thinking about there. The less we think of our inheritance, the more we fear losing this. The less we set our minds on things above, the more that the things of earth claim our affections. But do you know that the truth is that those that know this eternal, enduring, enlightening inheritance do the most earthly good. When we try to hold on to earth, we lose it, and we're not really any good to it. But the more we focus on heaven, we do a lot of earthly good, because our perspective is on the right thing. Listen to Paul wrote Titus, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying, the more we look forward to the glorious appearing of the Lord, the more righteously we live in this present life, the more good we do in this present life for the glory of God. So what awaits us? A crown, a throne, a kingdom, a home, a treasure, a holy city, A perfect body with his head all the way down to his toes. Amen?
Amen.
We get to look forward. And that's just naming a few. We get to look forward. Know what we get to look forward to? Seeing him.
Amen?
Amen? Jesus.
Amen.
We get to look forward to seeing him. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And he just read my mind. He's looking over my shoulder. You can't even comprehend how awesome it's going to be. You can't even come close. But it's kind of like a dare. It's almost like, but I dare you to think about it. It's okay. You're gonna come short. But think about it. That's a dare. Can you even begin? Just start dwelling on it. What's to come? What we have to look forward to? What could happen in a moment?
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'll fly away. Oh, glory. Amen. Well, the inheritance reminds us to fix our gaze not on the things of this world, but on the next. In fact, you know what happens? The more we fix our minds on his inheritance, the more we fix our minds on his glory, the more we fix our minds on what is to come, the more we fix our eyes on what on the next life that's going to have no end, and what happens? The things of this world lose their luster.
Yes.
The things of this world fade in its importance. The things of this life lose their appeal, their allure, and their fascination. You look at the things of the world and go, nothing new under the sun. But glory. Think of that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know that song? Can we sing just the chorus?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
May that be true. And not just a song. Turn your eyes on Jesus. And his glorious brilliance has a way of turning all the other lights off. We shall behold him. No. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The inheritance reminds us that the better and the greater is coming. We may suffer now, but suffering will end. We may experience loss here, but eternal gain awaits us. We may be grieved by injustice, unrighteousness, and unfairness here, but all of that will come to an end. We may feel like we are under the heel of the wicked, but the church will soon crush Satan underneath their feet. No more sin. No more sighing, no more tears. No more suffering. No more death. Life will swallow it all up in victory. Amen? When we know the riches of the glory of His inheritance, then we can face anything. We can endure anything. We can risk all for the sake of the gospel because we know that we can never lose anything that really matters. I've been reading some church history recently. And I was reading about the Anabaptists, reading about Reformation history. The Anabaptists were a segment of the Christian population that were really striving to get back to what's called primitive Christianity, or getting back to the book, the way the church was supposed to be. Whether they had it all right or not doesn't matter, but that's what their intention was. And the problem was that they experienced great persecution because they were so separate from everyone else, including the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans. They experienced great suffering, burned at the stake. Listen to this testimony of the Anabaptist believers who were being martyred. In fact, this was in reference to 2,173 Anabaptists, and this was in the early 1500s. So this comment or this statement is in reference to them. It says this: no human being was able to take away out of their hearts what they had experienced, or known. The fire of God burned within them. They would die 10 deaths rather than forsake the divine truth. They had drunk of the water which is flowing from God's sanctuary, yea, of the water of life. Their tent they had pitched not here upon earth, but in eternity. Their faith blossomed like a lily, their loyalty like a rose. They have borne all torture and agony without fear. The things of this world they count only as shadows. They were thus drawn unto God, that they knew nothing, sought nothing, desired nothing, loved nothing but God alone. Therefore, they had more patience in their suffering than their enemies in tormenting them. Their enemies grew impatient with them in torturing them, while they had infinite patience. Why? Because they knew the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. You can face anything when you know that. When you really know. And you know what happens the more we know the riches of the glory? The more we will resist temptation. The more we will strive to walk in holiness and obedience. The more we will give generously. The more we will witness to the certainty of the coming judgment and the coming king. The more we will warn others to not trust in uncertain riches, and we will warn ourselves. The more we will learn to rejoice in all things. All things, no matter how difficult. Horatio Spafford wrote a song you're familiar with and probably love to sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And he lost all of his children. His wife alone was saved. When their ship crossing the Atlantic sunk, he was separate from them. He had received that telegram, saved alone. And when he was on another ship bound for where his wife was, crossing that location where the ship went down, he wrote those words: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows, like sea billows," and he's looking at the sea as he's thinking about these words, "sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." the last line. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be what?
Sights.
Why? Because we're looking forward to something. Because this life isn't it. Because there's more than what's here. Because we're meant for there, and we're pilgrims and strangers just passing through.
Amen.
That's where our real home is.
Yes.
This isn't home. But it's coming. Oh, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Let's stand. Praise be to God.